Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch. It's been a very brutal Monday, and joining me in studio to discuss today's trade and also take your questions on Nkunza from Sanlam Private Wealth and Joseph Boucher from JM Boucher Investments. If you'd like to send questions, please do. You can SMS us 41392. You can email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or you can tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Nick, Joseph, nice to see you both this evening.
Hello.
As I said, it's been brutal. We're down 2.5% today on the overall market. Having said that, though, the S&P 500 is down 2.7%. Is it just kind of a knee-jerk reaction to Donald Trump's tweets and rhetoric and the imposition of trade tariffs against China? What is going on?
This is just jitters, I think. It's a continuation of the uncertainty in the market. Mr. Trump is unpredictable. And also, if you see that Ms. Borson have won, obviously, the prime minister position in the UK, and Mr. Trump thinks he's going to be a great prime minister, and now he wants to impose also tariffs there. So I think the market is just, you know, saying possibly enough is enough. We don't know what's coming through. Because tomorrow he will say the talks are going great with China. Then the following morning he say, I'm going to impose more tariffs on China. So, you know, nobody knows what's happening. And certainly in the future, my view is that people are saying, you know, things must start getting tough in terms of, you know, the reporting earnings and so on. And the American farmers complaining to say, well, you're imposing all this. Now China is going to retaliate and we need more subsidy. And what are we going to do with the stock? So there's uncertainty in terms of what they're going to do with their products.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly Donald Trump doesn't seem to be taking credit for the market falls that we've seen today. Mm. But Nick, one of the other issues is the iron ore price came tumbling.
Yeah, under 100.
You know, and to some extent, it's quite curious to see or to feel that gust of panic that goes through the market when something like this happens, because we've all been talking about how overextended the iron ore price is and how no one could understand why it had been trading at such lofty levels. And now when it comes down, it's actually probably a natural and overdue event, and yet it really feels ugly when it happens.
It does, but I also think it's because we've been lulled into this false sense of low volatility for so many years. 2017, I mean, we had average volatility of 11%. It should be 20. Last year was slightly higher. So volatility is 50% under what it should be in a normal time. You know, markets should move 1-2% a day. That's a natural movement of markets. We have days in the S&P where it doesn't even move 0.25%.
Yeah.
We've become used to that. So now we're getting back to normal levels. Volatility is bounce 50%, we're at 22%, we have these big swings.
And we're getting hysterical.
Look, some of these moves are brutal. I mean, it's. I wish we were back in the days we open your statement once a month. You know, you don't want to look at the screens today. I agree with Joseph. You know, this is, Mr. Trump is very unpredictable, but I do feel that the rhetoric in the last 48 hours has been ratcheted up to a new level. I think things are not going to go in a hurry, and China out this morning, talking about agricultural products staying, not, you know, basically selling to Americans. You talk about iron ore, soybeans today. Did anyone see the price of soybeans?
No.
15% down on the day. I mean, that's like literally at the forefront of the trade war. So I do think there's probably more to come.
I mean, to some extent, you know, we are sitting here in Johannesburg looking at our South African stocks thinking, crikey, this is ugly. But this is a worldwide sell-off. However, if we were, maybe we had a better economic growth, stronger policies, we were in a better situation in total, we might not see the rand where it is, and stocks being sold off to the extent that they are. So do you think that there is an element of exaggeration of the kind of sell-offs that we've seen today, being largely due to global factors, but then there are South Africa-specific elements there as well?
The domestic issues basically are at play as well. You must understand that, you know, Eskom showed a 20 billion loss. Our leaders are mainly in courts or commissions rather than to doing business. So there is a lot of problems I think we need to be able to deal with. And we've just been lucky that we've been holding on up to about June. You know, the market was up for about 10-9%. Now we're really looking bad again. So I think the external matters or issues are there, but we have our own domestic issues because there's no growth. The rand is very volatile, like Nick is saying, we're not used to these volatilities. Now, if you were to say your rand was 2 weeks ago about 1388, 1385, now we going towards 15, who is going to be able to hedge? What are the importers going to do? What are the exporters going to plan? And so on. So we have lots of problems.
Yeah, I think also just to add, you know, if you, with all this all the noise and all the problems you're having offshore as well, if you're looking for an emerging market possibly to park your money as a safe haven, South Africa at 0% growth ain't it. So you're right. Yeah.
Actually, are there any emerging... Well, surely no one is looking at emerging markets as...
No, but I'm just saying hypothetically. If you're looking for someone to park your money, you've got to think South Africa's pretty far down the list.
Yeah. Okay, so 1492. In fact, so Wayne McCurry always talks about... Well, he's been saying the rand between 13 and 14 is a decent rate for the rand against the dollar. We have now blown out to 15, so maybe don't take your money offshore now, because this is probably at the worst level. Hopefully, it'll come back to below or closer to 14 to the dollar.
Should never hope in a trade.
Okay, no, you shouldn't. Okay, now here's someone who's clearly very pessimistic about our prospects, because she says, how will an IMF bailout affect the market? Now, there's been lots of talk about South Africa actually being pushed into the arms of the IMF. You had Johan Rupert, chairman of Richemont, saying he thinks an IMF bailout is a year away. And there are very good reasons for which we would need an IMF bailout. Our debt is blowing out. You saw the front page of Business Day today. Business leaders, Sipho Phetiana, warning Cyril Ramaphosa and co. about the precarious debt levels we're approaching. But I suppose that for you and me, what would it mean? What would an IMF bailout mean for the average retail investor?
Well, it just means basically that we won't be able to set the policy agenda. That's number one. As a country.
There
will be conditions to it. So consulting everybody, some people are saying, well, don't get into the arms or jaws of the international monetary donors or funds, you know, including the World Bank. So certainly, I think, you know, will just be another African story, because most of them basically, you know, you have IMF, you've got the World Bank, you've got all the developmental institutions that come and assist. So if you get your GDP, your debt to GDP at 60%, then you're going to get the deficit above 5%. Inflation is going to start creeping up. Certainly, we'll be in trouble, because you know, it will just balloon a deficit, because none of the state-owned entities that are supposed to drive the economy will be solvent.
Okay, so that's like the bigger picture, but I mean, that's a bit of that's a bit abstract, Joseph. I mean, Nick, if you or me sitting here with disposable income, hopefully still to invest in the stock market, what do we do? Or do you just carry on as usual?
Well, I mean, typically these things tend to be like a Damascus moment where, you know, it's the final basically shake the tree and be done and start from scratch. I mean, look at most places where you get a debt downgrade and you go to junk status, it takes anywhere between 7 and 10 years. But it makes the administration, whoever's going to be ruling, put in policies to either get out of that, or you're not going to get out
of it. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not necessarily. I mean, of course, the downside is you get things like the rand's going to blow out. Yep. And all of a sudden, holidays in Margate look a lot better than New York right now. No disrespect to anyone who's watching from
Margate.
Well,
holidays in your backyard.
Yeah. So I mean, obviously, that's the most obvious thing. And of course, your rand blows out and inflation goes up. And we have to learn to live with a high interest rate environment. And it's not. So the average person on the street, maybe not so much unless you're running a small business. You know, your cost of borrowing is going to go up, etc. But it's not necessarily a bad thing to almost like reset it. Just have a reset and start again. But there's going to be some pain to go with it first, because the government borrowing and debt will blow out significantly.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's another question asking, in times like this, which JSE stock would be a buy?
That's like just throwing you know, some dice. It would be very difficult, you know, to say that. So you've got your rand hedges and you've got SA Inc., which has also been under pressure. What you might want is possibly more globally diversified stocks. So you're looking for your stocks with a better geographical spread,
more defensive,
more income streams rather than just, you know, on one. Right now, you find that your golds are doing more purely because that's a safe haven, right? Okay. And we have some of the counters without a very good, like your Barlow's, Bidvest, they've also been basically battling. You know, the surprise has been Richemont, which has actually done very well.
It's done very well until today.
Yeah.
Today was dreadful, and which is really curious.
Yeah, but that's a China story. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So 40% of the income's from China. So.
Yeah.
Is that actually an opportunity to buy a Richemont? Would you see it down sort of 5% today?
I actually like the other narrative, like alluding to what you're saying now, is in fact that the more and more Chinese being told not to buy American, you saw sales in Tiffany, for example, in China down 50-60%. It was like an absolute train smash. Ironically, if you want to play that story, I quite like the fact that maybe Richemont is a buy. As more and more Chinese lean towards companies that are not American.
Yeah, and you know, European.
And it's a lovely rand hedge, yeah. So maybe there is a little ray of sunshine on the JSE there. Yep.
Okay, and however, cancelling that out, can the iron ore price fall further? It certainly can, whether it will or not, I suppose.
Certainly. It is possible.
Guessed.
It depends on the demand as well. And I think if this whole global kind of war is going through between China, trade war between China and America, so there might be depressed, situation for iron ore, and it might continue to go.
Hmm. I mean, Nick, would you say the probability is high for a further iron ore price increase and decrease? Sorry, bearing in mind, and I have to say, people who have watched the show assiduously would have known that. Most of our guests have said iron ore price is astoundingly high.
Yeah.
It's unsustainably high. Yeah. Cash in your Anglos or your Kumbas or your Assels now.
Absolutely.
Because you've had a phenomenal increase.
Yeah, and you've had and the warning signs have been there. Yeah. I mean, as this rhetoric has been simmering and now escalated, I mean, surely besides soybeans and a few other things, the one standout to be very cognizant of was the extremely high iron ore price. And, yeah, that was $30 ago. Yeah.
What about the copper price? What is Dr. Copper telling us? Because copper is often regarded as a benchmark for the world economy. And there are, all these big conflicting global forces at play, trade wars, central banks cutting rates, although possibly not to the extent that some people would like. The copper price is also a key barometer to watch right now.
Yeah, I just think anything that relies on the global growth story, you've got to be very careful of. Not just the trade wars. I mean, you've actually seen like there were some peer numbers out of China this morning, some Caxton numbers. They were down significantly. You've seen global PMIs around the world the last couple of months starting to roll over. The likes of anything to use industrials, the likes of copper, the likes of iron ore, even logistics and global shipping prices, etc., are all coming off. Just got to be very careful of this. Because, as I said, this trade war can go on for a while. And if you want to chat later about it, look what the WAN did. I mean, that's gone from a trade war to a currency war.
Okay, no. Let's just talk about that. Because it dropped below...
Dropped over seven, yeah.
So
it went from like six, it's been manipulated, it's been pegged roughly 685, 690, blew to 703, and in the past, that's always been deemed the level that the People's Bank of China normally step in and sort of keep it under seven. And I think today it was pretty evident that they all of a sudden didn't hit the buy button anymore and let it go. Which, so if you want to offset tariffs, well, weaken your currency. And of course, Trump tweeted pretty swiftly this afternoon, look at the Chinese, they're manipulating. And so, I don't know if you want to add anything.
Yeah, I mean, Joseph, is this a sort of a seismic moment for global markets if the Chinese, not neglect the currency, but let it drop to a level and then kind of walk in to defend it?
Well, I think China, this is not a small economy. This is a big economy. This is an economy at some stage that was having like $1 trillion worth of U.S. treasuries. They're supplying a lot of regions in terms of funding and in terms of trying to exert their influence. So certainly I think they will come through and be able to say at this level we want to be able to support given what they want to export and obviously import. So it has to come into play where they believe that they will be in a stronger position to be able to negotiate given the trade war between the two countries. I mean, Chinese, I don't think they're stupid. They're pretty smart in terms of, kind of it's a managed economy. It's a mixed managed economy or semi-closed economy. So
I
think
there was a bit of a shock in the currency. This is kind of where maybe the new level for yuan has been set.
As Joseph was saying now, they've got a lot of, it's not just about the trade wars. They've also got a lot of T-bonds, exactly what we're talking about now. they wanted to, they could dump all their T-bond holdings on the market and it'll be goodbye American debt. I mean, really, I mean, it's not, you've got to be very careful what we're playing with here. And I think both sides have got a lot to lose. And I can't see any winners on either side right now.
Yeah, okay. We'll leave it there for a moment. If you'd like to send questions, please do. SMS us 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Welcome back. Let's have a look at what's happening to U.S. markets at the start of this rather gruesome week. The S&P down 2.7%. Ooh, the Nasdaq off 3.25%, and the Dow Jones trading 2.7% weaker. So gruesome, I think, is the word du jour. The FTSE 100 down 2.5%, the CAC 40 off 2.2%, and the DAX trading almost 2% weaker. So we sort of held up down 2.5%. And still with me in the studio are Nick Kunze from Summerland Private Wealth and Joseph Boucher from JM Boucher Investments. James, we did talk about Richemont briefly, talking about a share that possibly is something that you would actually buy because it's got a diversified geographic exposure. And the guest says, or the viewer says, I own the share, which I bought at 98 Rand, and I want to know if it's a hold or a sell. I mean, actually, if you bought at 98 Rand, you've done fairly well, notwithstanding today's cratering in the share price. Would you continue to hold this, though?
Certainly. I think I wouldn't sell when the market is coming down. Kind of hold a little bit. It can still go to 120, 122. You see there, last July, you know, we were there around 130. So I think this is a dip, and this is a dip that is not just company-specific, but this is, market risk. So hold a little bit, and when it bounces, you sell when the market is going up.
Yeah. Good point that it's not a general market yep. Downturn rather than a company specific one. Nick, would you agree if you had bought in at 98 Rand?
Like the share, it's not cheap.
Yes.
It's not the cheapest share on the market, but solid management style. They've been progressing slowly, moving more and more towards sort of e-commerce. We've spoken in the first segment about how I think the Chinese will lean more towards companies that are not American. And Richemont are in a prime spot to benefit.
Yeah. Okay, what about Intu? So a UK company. And the question is, please ask their panel on buying Intu Properties share or a can of Coke. So, in fact, Intu Properties share, you can get for less than a can of Coke now, right? How much is a can of Coke?
Can of Coke is about, it depends what you're buying. So possibly 10, 13 rand.
Yeah. Yep. So Intu Properties is... Actually, I don't know. What was the price of it? Because Intu Properties came down. Okay, 7 Rand 14 today was the close. Down another 6.8%. Last week was a horror. It was down.
But last week it has earnings. So I mean, it took a massive knock. Yeah.
But it hasn't managed to recover.
What's the expression? Falling knives, eh?
Yep.
And in fact, I think the FT in the Alphaville blog, they actually talked about the share going to zero. And to some extent, you laugh, and then you think maybe you're being a bit cavalier when you laugh at the expression, this thing's going to zero, but could this actually go to zero? If you've got a company where the debt eclipses the value of the assets, is that feasible?
It's not as simple as that. You'll obviously put in cash flow and all the rest of it, but this particular company, I don't know what's going to turn this one around, really. Yeah. I mean, we don't have too much exposure to it. I don't own the share myself. I've never bought it. I don't know what the true value of this company is when you look under the hood. I really don't.
Joseph, any thoughts?
Could go to zero, but not exactly zero. Sorry. So you're going to get an average type of scenario here. So it will get somewhere possibly low and get stuck there for a while. I think we've just seen the property sector really battling. I think I can't remember whether Rebosis was trying to get it or something, but certainly I think the property sector for me, I'll stay out of them, and in particular some of the ones that have been struggling with debt.
Yeah, I mean, you had SA Corporate Real Estate coming out today with an announcement that they've actually brought back a former MD. There's been lots of weird management changes, but what they did say was that they've had all these non-binding expressions of interest, which they have effectively rejected, which is quite interesting. They obviously feel that they are worth more going it alone. I don't know if either of you have any thoughts there. But having said that, they only traded 1.5% down today, so the market may be just giving them a bit of a wide berth.
You're an outperformer.
Exactly. This is a pick, damn it. Right. Moving on. Shorting, and Nick, you've spoken about this before. Shorting Austrian 100-year bonds. What do you think about shorting them? They're yielding sub 1%. This seems laughable considering we've had two world wars within that time frame, etc.
It is extraordinary.
But that
is the upside down world of quantitative easing and negative interest rate policy. This is what it happens you saw the German 2-year and the 10-year today went to record negative lows, and we could speak about this for hours. But what the central bank's action and quantitative easing is doing, by manipulating the price of these curves and the bonds, et cetera, and it's creating an environment for a country like Austria to issue a 100-year note, and pension funds will be forced to buy it because 1 or 2% for 100 years is better than negative a half for 10. And it's like, don't get me started.
Okay, so...
But yes, shorting it is an option. But I mean, as much as this risk off continues, these bonds could carry on running. They really could.
I mean, because really, if you look at it, you think this is ludicrous. Actually, who can possibly know what's going to happen in 100 years? Mm. But the point is, maybe you're not solvent enough to short these bonds for the length of time that you would want to.
They tried to do that in Japan for decades, and it was called the Widowmaker for a reason.
In short, he's saying, this is just like Mission Impossible, so just forget it. I'm not going to do anything about it.
Well, you used to be able to short something, you talk about interview. You used to be able to short something and go to
zero. Come on, I'm throwing a challenge at you guys, okay, and so you're just not up to the top.
You used to be able to short something and go to zero, and that was enough. Now with negative interest rate bonds, naught's not the floor anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. Yeah. A good option now that the price of gold is on the rise, what do you think of the new gold ETF? Or have you actually missed this boat?
It's like, the bus is already, bus is like moving on time, right? Okay, and you are on a bus stop and the bus has just started moving, or how train, and you want to chase it.
Don't chase it unless you're saying Bolt.
Because it has already left the station. So I think it's too late. If you wanted to catch momentum onto that, I think it's too high. So you never know when there will be settlement in the trade wars, and all of a sudden the safe haven is no longer safe haven.
Yeah.
Some people are even saying Bitcoin might be even a better safe haven than some of the stocks. So I think from a momentum perspective, I think you've lost it.
Nick.
Yeah, I agree. I think your opportunity is your upside opportunity is limited at these levels, and I agree. You could have one tweet out tomorrow that trade wars are resolved, and I promise you now gold will be down $50.
Yeah, which is alas, because it's great fun to trade, especially when you get on the right side, and you would have done very well. Any views on Tesla internationally and Mr. Price locally? We actually haven't spoken about Tesla for a while. We've kind of gone quiet on Elon Musk.
He's not going on TV. He's not trying to he's not doing much because he's going to get fined from the Securities Exchange. So, yeah.
I think Tesla's in a very precarious position. First of all, they have to issue more debt. He's been talking the outlook up quite a bit recently. But they're facing increasing competition from other electric vehicles. Well, other car manufacturers that are going into electric vehicles. So to give an example, BMW, Audi, etc., they're putting, I think, between $6 and $8 billion into the development of EVs, electric vehicles. I mean, that is more than Tesla spent since its existence on developing electric vehicles. So they're facing increasing competition from established car manufacturers. So it might find that it becomes a bit of a niche player. And at current levels, it might be taken out by someone else. But as a pure electric car manufacturer now, it's increasing a lot of headwinds coming up.
Mm. And what about Mr. Price? You've got all the local issues to contend with, although we did see a pretty good trading update from ShopRite, for example, last week, which indicated that a bit of growth was returning to its South African supermarkets. I don't know if the same could be said of apparel companies.
Well, this, yeah, I was going to say that this is slightly different. Obviously, you know, ShopRite is mainly of grocery and foodstuffs. This is guys a little bit spread. But if you look in terms of their sector, you know, they've done better, Mr. Price. But I think the entire retail apparel sector is certainly battling. I think look at Truett's, you know, you would think possibly Foshin and Mr. Price might hold a little bit. Mr. Price purely because they've got Mr. Price Home, they've got different divisions that could cushion other departments. But certainly I think this sector is still going to better a little bit.
Yeah, and also a weak rand doesn't help them because a lot of their product is imported.
Weak rand, SA consumer under pressure. Quarter point percentage cuts not exactly going to help. And then if you have to throw in those horrendous unemployment numbers last week as well, it just seems like you don't have to chase this. I think it's a great company, but right now I don't think you have to. It's in the wrong environment for the time being. It'll get its time.
Okay, Jane, so your stock picks this evening, it's
boring.
Universally cash. Is it just... You know, keeping yourselves aloft, really, at this point in time, rather than going out and taking any...
Cash is king, right, for now. Because what you don't know is that... So the American elections are coming next year, okay? So as we go towards that, you know, the volatility in the rand is going to be equal to the volatility of Mr. Trump's tweets until he realizes possibly he might lose whatever he wants to do and possibly 10 at that stage. So the market is going to be very, very uncertain, very massive volatility in there. To just make everything settle down a little bit, I think cash would do.
Yeah, that's a long time to be holding cash, though, Joseph, since we're waiting until next year's election.
This is the only time I've chosen cash since I've been on the show.
It's a watershed moment.
Watershed moment. I just think I just feel that the rhetoric has increased so substantially in the last 48 hours. And if you don't have to be in the market for now, best to be on the side. But you'll get your opportunity. I mean, these markets, is an old expression, chaos provides opportunity. And those who are sitting with cash will get their opportunity at some point. But while things are still at such a head, and what's that, there's an African expression, when two elephants are fighting, stay off the grass.
Yep.
So I'm staying off the grass for now.
Okay, fair enough. Because actually, I mean, cash actually is giving you a great return at this point in time.
It is. Cash, as in, a lot of people look at us as money managers and brokers and argue that you're supposed to be in the market. But in times like this, having a choice of being in cash is actually an asset class in itself.
It is, I mean, give it 3 months, because I think if there was going to be any more negative outlook from the credit rating agency for us as SA, you're going to see, obviously, bonds losing lots of money as well. So you'd rather be in cash for the next 1-2 months and climb back into the market. You've got lots of options. If the rand just touches 15, I didn't see where R186 is, but we just closed very nicely. Mm. And all of a sudden, we up 40 basis points.
Yeah, okay. This is the sensible show, people, this evening. Nick, Joseph, thanks very much for joining us. Nick Quinson from Sunderland Private Wealth, Joseph Busher from J. Busher Investments, and we'll be back with Stockwatch tomorrow night at 7:30. Have a good evening. So your stock picks this evening, it's
boring.
Universally cash. You know, keeping yourselves aloft, really, at this point in time, rather than going out and taking any...
Cash is king, right, for now. Because what you don't know is that... So the American elections are coming next year, okay? So as we go towards that, you know, the volatility in the rand is going to be equal to the volatility of Mr. Trump's tweets until he realizes possibly he might lose whatever he wants to do and possibly 10 at that stage. So the market is going to be very, very uncertain, very massive volatility in there. To just make everything settle down a little bit, I think cash would do.
Yeah, that's a long time to be holding cash, though, Joseph, since we're waiting until next year's election.
This is the only time I've chosen cash since I've been on the show.
It's a watershed moment.
I just think I just feel that the rhetoric has increased so substantially in the last 48 hours. And if you don't have to be in the market for now, best to be on the side. But you'll get your opportunity. I mean, these markets, is an old expression, chaos provides opportunity. And those who are sitting with cash will get their opportunity at some point. But while things are still at such a head, and what's that, there's an African expression, when two elephants are fighting, stay off the grass.
Yep.
So I'm staying off the grass for now.
Okay, fair enough. Because actually, I mean, cash actually is giving you a great return at this point in time.
It is. Cash, as in a lot of people look at us as money managers and brokers and argue that you're supposed to be in the market. But in times like this, having a choice of being in cash is actually an asset class in itself.
It is, I mean, give it 3 months, because I think if there was going to be any more negative outlook from the credit rating agency for us as SA, you're going to see, obviously, bonds losing lots of money as well. So you'd rather be in cash for the next 1-2 months and climb back into the market. You've got lots of options. If the rand just touches 15, yeah. I didn't see where R186 is, but we just closed very nicely. Mm. And all of a sudden, we're up 40 basis points.
Yeah, okay. This is the sensible show, people, this evening. Nick, Joseph, thanks very much for joining us. Nick Quinson from Sunderland Private Wealth, Joseph Busher from J. Busher Investments, and we'll be back with Stockwatch tomorrow night at 7:30. Have a good evening.